When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
You deserve a moment to yourself every single day. And a delicious bite of a Keebler Sandies can give you that comforting pause. If tonight's movie night is just what you need, make it special with the melt-in-your-mouth magic of a Keebler Sandies. This magic is baked into simple shortbread cookies by Ernie and the Keebler Elves. So as life continues to fly by, make the most of your me moment. Take a pause and enjoy a Keebler Sandies.
Tired of restless nights? At Leesa, we know good sleep is essential for mental, physical, and emotional health. From memory foam mattresses to hybrids that keep you cool all night long, Leesa's mattresses offer exceptional comfort and support with free delivery and 100 nights to try out your mattress in the comfort of your home. For a limited time, save up to $700 off select mattresses plus two free pillows. Go to leesa.com/iHeart for an additional $50 off mattresses and select goods. Exclusions apply. See leesa.com for more details.
Ho, 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 dun, 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 born to love, ho, ho. Scott, Santa, join me for a duet for our holiday edition of Born to Love.
Oh, Merry Christmas. I guess that Christmas just happened yesterday by the time listeners are reading this, but it's coming up for you and me, Ellie. Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, New Year's, all of the holidays. That's a holiday season, and I'm excited. Are you excited, Ellie?
I love the holidays. You would have thought maybe, because sometimes I like to play up my grump side, but actually, I'm not a Grinch. I do love the holidays. It's a stressful season. That's the first adjective I used to describe the holiday season. I love so
I'm no
much.
Grinch. I think the holidays are stressful.
Well, in case anyone was listening and thought, oh boy, this is going to be a Susie Sunshine, Merry Snowflake kind of thing. I'm with you guys. I understand stress levels are high. I also understand if you get a chance to spend time with friends and family, isn't that a blessing? Scott, this is our podcast, Born to Love. Now, usually every week we have someone come on the show and talk about something they love. But you know what? It's the holidays. People are on vacation. People are traveling. People are making cookies. Today, we have a very special edition of our show where you and I are going to talk about holiday movies.
That's right. I'm absolutely thrilled for this. We gave each other our favorite holiday movies to watch. And it turned out that you had not seen my favorite holiday movie and I had not seen your favorite holiday movie. So we just watched them for the first time, each other's. My favorite holiday movie is Die Hard, which you had never seen. And your favorite holiday movie, what is it, Ellie?
Meet Me in St. Louis, Louis. It's Meet Me in St. Louis, the iconic and definitive Christmas movie.
For those of you that laughter should convey something to you, listeners. For those of you not familiar with it, Meet Me in St. Louis is a 1944 Judy Garland movie during which Christmas is a very small part.
Christmas comes at the very end.
It's not even quite at the very end. It's three quarters of the way through.
But Scott, if anything else comes to my mind when I think Christmas movie, I can't think of it. Meet Me in St. Louis is one of the first ones that comes to mind. It makes me so happy. I watch it every year at Christmas.
I mean, I'm absolutely thrilled to talk about it. We're going to talk about both. Let's start with Die Hard. I think a movie maybe more of our listeners have heard. It's the Bruce Willis joint 1980s action thriller. John McClane trapped in a skyscraper full of terrorists on Christmas Eve. Ellie, I'm dying to know, what did you think of it?
Okay, so I have to tell you. Now you can tell right there what I thought of it. If anyone ever answers, okay. Okay. No, listen. I'm one of the few people probably in the country who was born in 1980 that's me, who actually hasn't seen this movie. I feel that it's been brought up many times in my life. There was an Office episode about Die Hard. I still hadn't seen it. I never, ever wanted to watch it because I have to tell you, I'm not usually that into action movies. I do like Speed. We talked about that with Jenna Fischer on our first episode. I don't actively seek action movies, okay? So that's why I hadn't watched it yet, okay? Now listen. Often I feel like an alien. And when I'm watching these things that are so beloved and critically acclaimed and also like popularly acclaimed, I'm thinking, what is wrong with me? I don't get it. I'm like, I'm sort of forcing myself to pay attention. I'm like pinching my arm to stay awake. Scott, don't hear me out. I didn't.
Wait, are you?
Hate
I have to interrupt you, Ellie. Are you describing your general reaction, or is this your actual lived experience of watching Die Hard? Was pinching yourself to stay awake?
It was pinching myself to stay focused because I kept thinking of other things I could be doing. Scott, I'm sorry. Listen, at no point in that movie did I feel sweaty. Was my heart racing? Did I feel anxious for Bruce Willis or Bedelia? What's her name? Bonnie? What the wife?
The wife's name is Holly because Holly. It's a Christmas movie.
Yes. Oh, also, so for those of you listening, most people know there is controversy. Oh, is Die Hard a Christmas movie or not? Unequivocally, yes. Of course it is. Her name's Holly. It's on Christmas Eve. The song playing at the end of the whole movie is like, Let It Snow, I think.
I think that's correct, as the bearer bonds are raining down. And there's also like the most important song is Ode to Joy, the Christmas song. You know, yes. Dun, 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 dun. And my favorite part of that whole movie is they break into the vault. The terrorists slash robbers break into the vault and they see all of the money and their eyes light up. And the Ode to Joy is playing.
Yep.
And then the guy goes, Merry Christmas.
Now, Alan Rickman, who I think a lot of people know from the Harry Potter movies, right?
Yeah.
I haven't seen that many of the Harry Potter movies either. I am an alien. Come to my planet. But his performance is exquisite. Nobody can argue with that. I did some research after I saw the movie. I see that this is the movie that made him a star, and I fully support it because he's phenomenal in the movie, okay? When he's posing as a layman, as like an escaped hostage, I literally was like, wait. I was like, is that actually an escaped hostage? His little transformation into acting like a normal person was fantastic.
When you were asking yourself, is that actually an escaped hostage? Is that because you were confused because you had nodded off and forgot who was who?
Maybe. No, and listen, the other thing about Bruce Willis in that movie, I don't know what to do with his performance because it's like really funny, but he's also heroic, but he's making like horrible jokes the whole time. And I also read some stuff that was like, oh, you know, Arnold Schwarzenegger passed on it. Sylvester Stallone passed on the role of John McClane. And it was like really sort of revolutionary or just, I guess, different that they had, you know, a non-action star as an action star. They had like someone who wasn't known for being an action hero star as the hero of that movie. And one look at his bare chest and you're like, what, how is he not an action star? He's like muscled to the, you know, gills. So anyway, his performance, the permanent...
Ellie is, I've never in my entire life seen such a cauldron of emotion on your face.
I'm feeling a lot.
You seem really tortured by this whole thing.
Because the thing is, like, it's an 80s movie. So I'm keeping that in mind. And I'm thinking, well, if this were 1988 and I was 8 years old and I was going to the theaters to see this.
I mean, there's a lot of swearing and cocaine and sex and killing. So if you were 8 years old seeing it. I don't know. I would question the parenting choices of your parents.
Scott, what I would love is what would be the grand revelation that actually my parents took me to see Die Hard in the summer of 1988. Sorry, if you don't know my parents, that's not something that would have happened. Okay, so it's funny to imagine that. But Scott, the thing is also, So when I'm trying to put myself in that zone, because it was like such a huge hit, right? It made millions and millions and millions of dollars. It was like a
Yes, I think it was a giant hit. Yes. Yeah.
Were people in 1988, like, were they fooled more? I guess what I'm trying to ask is, like, as a 2023 viewer of the movie, I don't feel at all anxious. I feel no adrenaline or anything watching the movie. Do you think I would have in the 80s?
Well, it depends on whether this version of you watching in the 80s is a normal person or apparently an alien, a soulless weirdo,
right,
who hates it.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think that it's 80s-ness I don't find so alienating. I think that it's almost timeless. I would say that the consensus is it holds up well. It's not like some movies that are dated in an uncomfortable way. Would you? I mean, I think that the truth is, if you were to see an action movie from 2023 that was as critically acclaimed as Die Hard, you probably wouldn't enjoy it either. Do you think that's fair?
Oh, so that's interesting, Scott. That's a very good consideration. I don't watch a lot of action movies now.
Wait, is there an action movie apart from Speed that you liked?
Oh, is Dances with Wolves?
Is Dances with Wolves? Dances with Wolves doesn't count.
Dances with Wolves isn't an action movie? The Buffalo? Riding the Horses?
I think that there...
I haven't seen a ton of action movies. Yeah, what else is an action movie? What's something I've seen where... I know. Like, you know, the documentaries when they're climbing the mountains. Those, mm-hmm, my heart is
racing. Yeah, an action movie. Like one of those documentaries.
You know, of Mount Everest.
No, I think you're just not... I think you have a hard time connecting to action movies. And if you were an action movie connoisseur, I think that one of the things you might recognize about Die Hard is that, as far as action movies go, there's actually a little bit more heart and character in Die Hard than we've come to expect. So
Scott,
one of the things... Yes, go on, Ellie.
No. You just got me there, because I think the friendship between Al, I think is his name, the cop, mm-hmm, and John McClane, played by Bruce Willis, is heartwarming. We see that thread all the way through. We see Al, who once unfortunately shot a 13-year-old, then ends up shooting a terrorist, and his relationship with shooting people has come full circle.
His arc is a little strange.
His arc is crazy.
His catharsis is, I'm able to murder people again.
And he couldn't be more triumphant in a very sweet way. He's buying his pregnant wife just like bags of Twinkies to nourish her and the baby in her inside. And so anyway, but it's a sweet friendship nonetheless. Also, wasn't mad as a woman. I was not mad at seeing Holly as second in command of the corporation.
Nakatomi Corporation. Well, see, that's why I made a bad prediction, because I thought that you might sneaky like this movie, and clearly I was wrong. I thought that you might appreciate the John McClane and Holly relationship, because the truth of the matter is that this is an interesting marriage, one where she's quote unquote wearing the pants. And guess what? Maybe this is part of the 80s element of it. He doesn't like it. John McClane he's upset that his wife is so successful and that she's taken the kids all the way across the country. And he doesn't want to play second fiddle in the family.
Yeah.
And then it's only through, you know, the experience of killing a bunch of terrorists at her place of work that he basically discovers the errors of his ways and fixes his marriage, at least for Die Hard 1. In the sequels, it's a little bleaker. But
do they not stay together?
She's in Die Hard 2, and then in Die Hard 3, she's not even in it. She's just like, oh yeah, no, she's out of the picture. But it's very heartwarming, I think, in the first Die Hard, the important one, and his catharsis, again, maybe a little dated, maybe a little sort of old school man's man kind of thing. I'm somewhat moved by his confession over the walkie-talkie. He says, oh, my wife, she's heard me tell her I love her 1,000 times, but she's never heard me say I'm sorry. And when he thinks he's going to die, he says, Al, I need you to tell this to my wife. That's like, yeah. So especially given the bar of an action movie, pretty great, I think.
Well, Ellie. Scott, you remembered the quote and I didn't. So that just goes to show how much you love it and how much I nodded off during it. But that, no, I wasn't nodding off during it. But
you were pinching yourself successfully.
I absolutely believe you that as far as action movies go, this one had a lot more heart than the average one. Of course, you show kids in any movie, you've got me. I mean, I didn't love that John McClane like hadn't seen his kids in, was it 6 months then? I mean, what? That was strange to me because he could have and he didn't. But all of that aside, I haven't seen Die Hard 2, Die Hard 3. They are riding off out of Century City, presumably to wherever they live, Studio City. I don't know where they live. They didn't. I don't think they mentioned it.
I don't think they mentioned it. Yeah.
But anyway, so he is going to go home. It's Christmas, and then it's going to be Christmas Day. What I also liked about this movie, I do think it was sort of poking fun, not poking fun at itself, but I mean, some of the lines were so, I think, self-aware in a good, in a charming way. Scott, I didn't hate the movie, but it was sort of what I expected. I don't understand, and this is a different subject. Now everyone will be like, ugh. I don't know, simpleton or not simpleton. I don't know what they'll say. They'll say something. I don't understand violence in movies. And I'm not saying that from anything other than like, I'm like watching it and I'm thinking, why do I have to watch this?
I get it. You know what? There's some people who are into watching dudes get shot through tables and thrown out of buildings. And there are other people who don't. And, you know, that's okay. I think especially for a Christmas movie, if you don't want to watch people get machine gunned, it's hard for me to say you're wrong, Ellie.
But the thing is, thank you. The thing is, whenever you're starting to feel like, oh, I've had enough. Like, I understand the blood, the violence, the shooting, all of this. You see Alan Rickman, like, you know, you see him, his face get back up there on the screen and you're hooked again. I mean, his performance is fantastic. I'm not taking away from anyone else's performance either. Everybody, not everybody was good in that movie. The, you know, the cocaine guy who tries to, it's Holly's like.
Yeah, the guy who's trying to to sleep with John McClane's wife, Holly. Yeah, yeah, he's nasty. He gets his comeuppance though. He gets shot. He gets shot in the head.
He gets shot, but I'm not sure he was. What I'm saying is, like, was he convincing? Like, did I believe that that person was that person? I don't know. I fully believe that Alan Rickman was that terrorist, you know?
Mother's Day is coming, and Mom doesn't want flowers. She wants a cocktail. Here's a hint. Get Mom Bartesian. It's the countertop cocktail maker that creates your choice of over 60 premium cocktails in less than 30 seconds, each at the touch of a button. Flowers die. Happy hour comes back every day. So get Mom the machine that makes amazing cocktails with real fruit juices and craft bitters. Best of all, get $50 off a Bartesian premium cocktail maker with the purchase of one pack of cocktail capsules. So, instead of getting Mom a reason to fill a flower vase with water, get Mom the easiest, fastest way to fill her glass with the floral notes of gin. The best cocktails are premium cocktails, and the best day to get it for Mom is Mother's Day, because you can get $50 off now for a limited time. Visit bartesian.com/mother to get the best premium cocktail maker for Mom at the best price for you. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
You deserve a moment to yourself every single day. And a delicious bite of a Keebler Sandies can give you that comforting pause. If tonight's movie night is just what you need, make it special with the melt-in-your-mouth magic of a Keebler Sandies. This magic is baked into simple shortbread cookies by Ernie and the Keebler Elves. So as life continues to fly by, make the most of your me moment. Take a pause and enjoy a Keebler Sandies.
Tired of restless nights? Meet Leesa, the sleep experts. Here at Leesa, we know that good sleep is essential for mental, physical, and emotional health. That's why their mattresses are made for exceptional comfort and support, catering to every sleep need. Check out Leesa's Sapira Hybrid Mattress, named Best Hybrid Mattress 5 years running. Sleep hot? The Chill Collection is built with cool-to-the-touch top fabric and layers of high-density comfort foams, all intended to remove excess body heat while maximizing comfort. With Lisa, getting a new mattress has never been easier. Delivery is free, and you have 100 nights to try out your mattress in the comfort of your home. Don't spend another night dreaming of better sleep. For a limited time, save up to $700 off select mattresses plus two free pillows. Go to lisa.com/iHeart for an additional $50 off mattresses and select goods. That's leesa.com/iHeart. Exclusions apply. See lisa.com for more details.
Maybe it's time to transition to your movie, which I watched this movie just last night, and I have been on pins.
Wanted it to be fresh.
Wanted it to be as fresh as possible. Also, maybe kind of procrastinating because I was not looking forward to watching this movie, this 1944 Judy Garland movie. I thought that it was black and white because all the photos are black and white. In fact, it's in beautiful Technicolor.
Yeah.
Ellie, how would you summarize the story of this movie? And then I'll give you my big reaction to it.
I haven't seen the movie in a while, but it is tattooed in my memory. So I would summarize the story as what the movie is about. It's about family. Okay. It's about family. And that no matter where you are, if you're together, you're a family. And in this digital age, you can still be, you know, far flung, but you can still be a family. That's how I would summarize the movie. I'm kidding. The movie is about a family in St. Louis at the turn of the century, 1904, I think 1903 to 1904. It's about a family's, you know, ups and downs and adventures and mostly love and romance set in St. Louis, Missouri, where I am from. And there's a moment when they think, because the dad gets a new job in New York City, and he's going to have to move the whole family there. And everybody is upset and sad because they like St. Louis, you know, they like it. Well, the dad decides, spoiler alert, the dad decides he can't move his family out of St. Louis because they love it so much. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that's right. I think that a perfect encapsulation from someone who loves the film. One of the stumbling blocks, I think, is that there's not a lot of story. It's sort of kind of... it's a series of vignettes.
It is. That's why
from 1903 about a family in St. Louis. The tone of it really did remind me a lot of like A Little Women or a Jane Austen book or something.
Yeah.
It's centered on sisters especially who are kind of pining for a husband and their misadventures.
Oh, Scott. Let me interrupt to say, this movie is dated. Like, I'm not saying, this is a model of how, you know, this is how stories should be told. And
let
like,
me interrupt you, Ellie. I kind of loved it.
Okay.
You don't have to make apologies for this movie. I mean, calling it dated, it's from another era, of course. And obviously the relationships between men and women and families and all that has changed. But in the same way that you could appreciate Jane Austen or Little Women,
well, exactly.
I think people could appreciate Meet Me in St. Louis.
I think so.
Moreover, one of the things that I found most charming about this movie, I think, is that it was made in 1944, right?
Yes.
And it's about 1904. So
yes.
They are kind of making, so the contemporary storytellers, filmmakers, whatever, are kind of making fun of how old-fashioned and funny the people 40 years earlier were, and that comedy still plays. So for example, there's a scene early on where they're expecting a phone call from New York, and the scene lasts forever. It's like a 5-minute scene between one of the sisters and her beau in New York, and like neither of them know how to use the telephone.
Yep.
And it's played for yucks. And I gotta say, my experience of watching this movie was I'm not really looking forward to an 80-year-old movie about some sisters in St. Louis. That's just the truth, right? And it completely won me over. I wouldn't necessarily recommend it, but I was thoroughly entertained.
Did Vanessa watch it with you?
Vanessa did not watch it. My kids came in and out. My son, Jack, who is 9 years old, He was sort of entranced. He kept popping in and out. He really didn't want to like this movie, but he liked it. And both Jack and I shared the same favorite character, and I bet you can guess who it is, Ellie. Do you remember the movie well enough to remember the sisters?
Oh, yeah. Well, you loved, is it Trudy, the youngest sister?
Tootie. The youngest sister is named Tootie, and yes. Listeners, Tootie is I think she might be my favorite child in the history of cinema. This little girl is maybe 9, maybe 8, something like that, and she's got a morbid fascination with death and killing. The first time we meet her, she's talking to like a wagon driver or something about how her doll has 4 terminal illnesses, is gonna die and need to be buried tonight. And I was sitting there thinking, what is going on with this little girl? And that is like literally all she talks about. For the entire movie, every scene she comes in, she's like, yeah, I got to dig up my doll. When they're going to move to New York, she's like, I got to dig up all my dolls from the cemetery. She is hysterical. She talks like out of nowhere at dinner. She's like, hey, mom, so-and-so got shot and was splurting blood for 3 feet.
Oh, yeah, exactly. She's like, she is fascinated by morbid details. She's also an incredible actress. Margaret O'Brien is her name, the actress's name.
You remember that?
No, wow. I looked it up just now. Okay. She couldn't have been older than 5 or 6 filming it. And I got it. And she is adorable. And she's also very funny.
She's hysterical. And the writing is very funny for her. You already spoiled the end of the movie, Ellie. So I'm going to spoil the middle of the movie.
Yeah, spoil it.
So Judy Garland, for those of you who may not remember who that is, she's Dorothy from The Wizard of Oz, right? You want to be really reductive. Dorothy from The Wizard of Oz is looking to hook up. That's what the movie's about. She falls in love with her next door neighbor whom she's never met, and she basically schemes to try to like win him, right?
Yeah.
And it's really funny and very charming, etc. Now, a big complication in the middle of the movie is that this young girl, Tootie, gets hit by a wagon or a streetcar. She gets a horrible accident, almost dies. Everyone's freaking out. They're like, oh my God, is she gonna die? Call the doctor. She's like terribly wounded. She ends up needing stitches. And they're like, what happened, Tootie? And she's screaming and shrieking. And she's like, what is the neighbor's name? The boy. This is a kind of movie where you don't even know the name of the guy she's in love with because we don't really care about the guy. We only care about the sisters.
That's it.
Which is a compliment I'm paying the film.
His name is John Truitt.
That's right. John Truitt. So she's like, John Truitt tried to murder me. John Truitt tried to. And everyone's like, what the fuck is going on?
Yep.
And then Judy Garland discovers that the love of her life tried to, at worst, purposefully kill, but at least horribly hurt her younger sister.
Yeah.
And she storms over and she punches John Truitt right in the f***ing face.
Yes.
She just knocks him out. And so all of this is like, whoa, this is a lot that was in a movie that was formerly like spending 5 minutes on how the telephone works. All of a sudden, there's a lot happening.
Yes.
And the most hysterical part is we discover in the true story, guess what? She was not an attempted murder at the hands of John Truitt. Instead, the truth is much crazier. She, Tootie, was trying to derail a streetcar. There's a streetcar we see, ding, ding, ding goes the trolley, is a song that they sing in this movie on the streetcar. We've seen it. It's a double-decker streetcar. It's got dozens of people on it. This f***ing little girl was trying to derail it. Now, she says,
I mean, she's a devil. She's a devil.
She was trying to derail it. She wanted it to go off the tracks. She wanted people to get hurt. The way that she tries to derail it, Ellie, do you remember how she tries to derail the streetcar?
No.
She stuffs clothes full of straw or something.
Oh, right.
And she throws this. It's like a scarecrow. It's a body. She throws a fake body on the tracks to try to get the streetcar man to think that he's about to kill someone.
Yep.
Oh my God.
Scott, I had forgotten that detail. That is, I don't even know if this was adapted from a book or a, I don't know.
I looked it up and it's adapted from like a series of short stories, which makes a ton of sense.
That makes a ton of sense since it is four different vignettes according to the season. That does make much more sense. There is no cohesive plot really, except for it's a Christmas movie. That she is, Tootie is a fantastic character. I don't know what Margaret O'Brien, I don't know much about her career as she got older. I'm ashamed to say I don't know very much about Margaret O'Brien.
I don't know much about her, but I have two other fun facts that I want to share from this movie about Tootie, okay? She sings a song in the movie. There's a lot of songs. This is her only one, right? The only fig leaf that you have that this is a Christmas movie is that, what is the Christmas song?
Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas.
Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas. That song was written for this movie. So in that sense, it's a Christmas movie. But the point is they all do a lot of singing. Tootie sings one song. It's a musical. Tootie sings exactly one song. And her song is, I Was Drunk Again Last Night, Mother.
She's six.
She's 6 years old. Well, she's an old six, and obviously she's got a very old soul. The character talking about being drunk again. It was so funny. And then the last thing is that there's a whole Halloween sequence, which is kind of terrifying because this is like pre trick or treat. This was just trick. This is where the kids would get in costumes and they just like, they're like a mob. And I'm not joking. There's like a big bonfire in the middle of the street and they just throw furniture into the fire and they're like, it's insane. But do you know what her costume is? It is, Tootie's costume is, and they say this out loud, drunken ghost.
Oh my gosh. Listen, Tootie's the youngest of, I think, five children. She has an older brother, and three older sisters. And they are old. One of them, I think, is like 20, right? He goes to Princeton or something. The other two women are 19 and 17. So, I mean, she's been around alcohol and presumably, I don't know, maybe ghosts. So, like, there's a reason she's so grown up, I guess. But her performance is fantastic. I have to tell you one of my favorite lines from that movie, which is when the dad comes home from work and he comes into the dining room and he tells the cook, I can't remember her name, but Susan, I love that cabbage. I can smell it when I get off the trolley. And the cook responds, cabbage has a cabbage smell. Cabbage has a cabbage smell. Yes, it does.
Oh.
She's just over it. She's like, I don't need to make small talk with you. Well, great, you can smell the cabbage. It's my job to make it for you.
The dad is pretty hilarious too. And I love that the whole movie, the whole story is just kind of setting him up as a clueless dolt. Like nobody in the family really pays much attention to him.
Well, no, he has a thankless role in the family. And he's just there to provide money. And also he's, nobody listens to him.
Nobody listens to him. And this is a payoff at the very end of the movie. But her older, Judy Garland's older sister also is trying to get married. And there's this one guy that seems too sort of stumble mouth to actually ask her. And then in the very end of the movie, he barges in and he goes, and you and I are going to get married and that's the last I'm going to hear of it, right? Which is, oh, wow, this guy's kind of finally grown a spine and he's made the older sister's dreams come true. It's a sweet little moment. But the funniest part is the dad goes, who's that? and the reaction of the entire family is like, we'll tell you later.
Oh, yeah. No, it's, and you know, Scott, that, of course, that movie was directed by Vincent Minnelli, who was at some point Judy Garland's husband. So I don't know if that happened. I'm looking it up. I don't know if that happened when they were filming the movie or if that's where they met and fell in love. I'm sure this is a fairly well-known fact, but they met on the set of Strike Up the Band. Oh, and then they got married in June 1945. So they got married after Meet Me in St. Louis, but they were now listen.
So they're making a movie about falling in love while probably, in actual fact, they themselves were falling in love. I don't know that I necessarily see that on the screen. I can tell you I enjoyed the directing of the film and her performance is sublime.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, what do you like so much about this movie, Ellie? I've got my guesses.
Well, Judy Garland is just fantastic and endlessly watchable. I mean, I love her performance. Of course I do. Are you thinking, oh, did she pick it because she's from St. Louis? In fact, no. It also, I watched it a lot growing up. It was like the one of the few movies I watched. That, Ferris Bueller's Day Off. That was about it. So I watched those movies growing up. So it's also something that reminds me of childhood. But I just think that it's a classic. I like the songs. I think it's, you know, beautifully directed. I love the characters. Of course, it's dated. It's from 1944, about characters in 1903. You know, it's no Die Hard.
It's definitely no Die Hard.
Meet Me in St. Louis is no Die Hard. I mean, they are different movies. But you know, I also think it's a very funny movie for the reasons you pointed out. The dynamics between the dad and the rest of the family. The totally morbid six-year-old Tootie. Like, she's hilarious.
I'm interested, Ellie, and this is not, there's no criticism implied in any of this, but I am curious watch this movie, which I think fair to say that the pacing by modern standards is a little easygoing, right? This is... It's not like an edge of your seat kind of film, and that's fine. Like I said, I enjoyed it very much. But when you at the beginning are like, I'm watching Die Hard and I'm trying to like stay awake, and yet you can't, you just can't get enough of there's a running joke at the beginning where they're just like, is the soup too spicy? Is it too sweet?
Salty. Everybody's got an opinion. Yeah.
Salty,
yeah.
That's sour. Like,
yeah.
And it's fine. It's not bad, but it's not gripping.
No, there's no one being held hostage in a Los Angeles skyscraper. No, but I'll tell you this. Maybe you're saying, oh, how can Ellie sustain an interest in this? What we said before, every, you know, 30 minutes is a new movie because of the seasons. So it's like, I'm not following the same terrorists taking over a Los Angeles skyscraper the whole time. I'm watching, oh, it's Halloween. Oh, it's Christmas. Oh, it's the World's Fair. Oh, it's hot in the summertime.
It's got that episodic nature. It's like, watching four episodes of Cheers, like right in a row.
Also, let's not forget that steamy scene where she's turning off all the lights and John Truitt is like helping her turn off the lights in her house.
Pretty steamy.
It's so steamy. She's like, what does she say? She has to turn off all the lights in her house before she goes to bed. And you know, it's 1903, so are they candles?
I think they're gas. They seemed to be natural gas chandeliers. So she had to go through one by one and turn down each of the valves on, like, each chandelier has, I don't know, 8, 10 something, multiple candles. And they had to turn the valves of each one. And it's very intimate. And it's getting darker and darker. And it worked for me for sure, where I was like, man, these two got a
It's going on. but then can we also talk about how John Truitt is absolutely the most boring man you've ever met in your life? He's literally like, I left my suit at the tailor's during basketball practice.
I absolutely love that you remember this movie so well. Yes, that's it. The climactic crisis of the entire film is that it is the Christmas dance. They're going to leave St. Louis forever. The day, like literally the next day, like the day after Christmas or whatever. And John Truitt shows up and he's like, oh, shucks, I can't go to the dance because I don't have a tuxedo because he was at basketball practice too long and he couldn't go to the tailor or something. And she's like, oh, I guess I won't go either. Then guess what? Spoiler, he does show up at the dance with a tuxedo at the last minute. As far as I can tell, I don't know explanation for how he got the tuxedo.
They never explain that. And guess who saves the day in the meantime until John Truitt shows up with a mysterious tuxedo?
Well, I don't need to guess since I just saw the movie, but why don't you tell us?
Grandpa.
Grandpa.
We haven't mentioned him yet. Of course, there's a grandpa character who's just like sweet and totally like made fun of and is a, I don't know if it's the dad's dad or the mom's dad, but I think he lives with them, right?
He lives with them. He also has one of the funny laugh lines that I forget exactly why, but they're worried that they're going to be in danger or the dad is going to leave or something. And the grandpa is like, well, I'll keep him safe. I've got 12 guns in my bedroom.
Dated.
12 guns and the grandpa. I mean, I'm imagining, because I think, like I said, it's based on these vignettes that I assume are so at least semi-autobiographical from whoever wrote them. And it's like, oh, 1904. It's probably grandpa's a Civil War veteran. He's got
right. Do the math
guns.
There. Yeah,
he's
exactly.
He's got a bunch of guns in his upstairs bedroom. So, but yeah, the grandpa saves the day. He takes Judy Garland to the dance.
Mom met a lot of your demands over the years. This Mother's Day, get her the Bartesian cocktail maker that makes premium cocktails on demand. In just 30 seconds, have your choice of over 60 premium or seasonal cocktails, all at the touch of a button. Get $50 off on the Bartesian cocktail maker now when you buy one pack of cocktail capsules. So, for all the times you made a mess, get Mom the countertop cocktail system that makes premium cocktails without making any mess at all. For all the times you begged for soda, get her premium cocktail capsules made with real fruit juice and craft bitters. For all the times you demanded tacos for dinner, get her the Bartesian that mixes margaritas in just 30 seconds. Make Mom's Mother's Day and all the 364 days that aren't Mother's Day with a Bartesian cocktail maker at $50 off. Visit bartesian.com/mother now to get $50 off the Bartesian Premium Cocktail Maker. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
You deserve a moment to yourself every single day. And a delicious bite of a Keebler Sandies can give you that comforting pause. If tonight's movie night is just what you need, make it special with the melt-in-your-mouth magic of a Keebler Sandies. This magic is baked into simple shortbread cookies by Ernie and the Keebler Elves. So as life continues to fly by, make the most of your me moment. Take a pause and enjoy a Keebler Sandies.
Tired of restless nights? Meet Lisa, the sleep expert. Here at Lisa, we know that good sleep is essential for mental, physical, and emotional health. That's why their mattresses are made for exceptional comfort and support, catering to every sleep need. Check out Lisa's Sapira Hybrid Mattress, named Best Hybrid Mattress 5 years running. Sleep hot? The Chill Collection is built with cool-to-the-touch top fabric and layers of high-density comfort foams, all intended to remove excess body heat while maximizing comfort. With Lisa, getting a new mattress has never been easier. Delivery is free, and you have 100 nights to try out your mattress in the comfort of your home. Don't spend another night dreaming of better sleep. For a limited time, save up to $700 off select mattresses plus 2 free pillows. Go to lisa.com/iHeart for an additional $50 off mattresses and select goods. That's leesa.com/iHeart. Exclusions apply. See lisa.com for more details.
Scott, our holiday movies. Die Hard and Meet Me in St. Louis. So they weren't the, you know, it's not, nobody watched the Santa Claus for this experiment. Nobody watched, you know, the Grinch. But we did watch holiday movies in our own way. And I think we can both say we're glad we watched them.
I mean, I can say that. I don't think you can truthfully say that.
No, Scott,
but that's okay.
Any experience I have that brings me closer to what humans experience makes me happy. So many people have seen Die Hard, and the next time it comes up at the bar, you know, I go to the bar most nights. The next time it comes up, I'll be like, and then John McClane, and I'll be able to just know what they're talking about.
Yeah, you'll just be able to bust out the, you know what? Alan Rickman is great.
The fact that I know he was in that movie now, I feel more confident. So I am happy that I saw it. And I also, you know, I do like movies set in cities. I'm not kidding. I love it when the city is a character. Let's just so stupid what I'm saying, but I happen to agree. Well,
that's certainly true. And Meet Me in St. Louis, city is certainly a
case in point. Uh-huh. Scott, I hope that you have a happy holiday season. To all of our listeners out there, we hope you have a healthy and safe holiday season as well.
And as a special gift to yourself, maybe before New Year's Eve, if you've got extra time, you can sample either or both of these movies and let us know what you think in Apple with a 5-star review.
Bye.
Bye. Thanks for listening to Born to Love. We'll be back next week with brand new things that we love.
We want to hear from you. Leave us a review in Apple Podcasts and tell us what you love. We might even ask one of our guests in an upcoming Love It or Loathe It.
Born to Love is hosted and created by Ellie Kemper and Scott Eckert.
Our executive producer is Aaron Kaufman. Our producers are Sheena Ozaki and Zoe Dinkla.
Born to Love is part of Will Ferrell's Big Money Players Network in collaboration with iHeart Podcasts. Special thanks to Han Sani,
Rachel Kaplan and Adriana Cassiano,
Michael Fales,
Alex Coral,
and Bahid Frazier.
What's up, y'all? Janice Torres here.
And I'm Austin Hankwitz.
We're the hosts of Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories, a podcast presented by iHeartRadio's Ruby Studios and Intuit QuickBooks. Join us as we speak with small business owners about the tools they use to turn their ideas into success.
From finding that initial spark of entrepreneurship to organizing payments and invoices, we've got you covered. So follow and listen to Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Tired of restless nights? At Lisa, we know good sleep is essential for mental, physical, and emotional health. From memory foam mattresses to hybrids that keep you cool all night long, Lisa's mattresses offer exceptional comfort and support with free delivery and 100 nights to try out your mattress in the comfort of your home. For a limited time, save up to $700 off select mattresses plus 2 free pillows. Go to lisa.com/iHeart for an additional $50 off mattresses and select goods. Exclusions apply. See lisa.com for more details.
What do the most successful growing businesses have in common? They're working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.